We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Mully and Hall, up early to start your day with Chicago Sports Talk.
We go ham!
You did ask me what went wrong last year. And as a man, I will tell you that I didn't do my part. I wasn't healthy enough to. Now, I tried to, but I couldn't make it happen. And at that point, that's when you know you got to take a walk, and I did. I would say I know. I don't think. I know because I've seen Mitch have success as a young quarterback in one of the toughest divisions in football. I've seen it. You got to protect him. You got to protect your assets now. And if Nick Foles comes in and he's aces and for whatever reason they decide to go that direction, the sky is not falling for Mitchell.
Mully and Hall.
I get a kick out of you guys.
Taking you to work every morning from 5 to 9.
If something like this does happen, you know, we need to be informed. I think that's really the big thing for players is we want information as well. You know, you can't just tell us to come back and play and expect us to just turn our heads and go, okay, yeah, we'll play with this risk. So as long as we have the information and the doctors have a plan for something like this to happen, that makes everybody feel more comfortable. And then, you know, if it does, then we have this protocol in place to where, you know, whatever that may be, quarantine, more testing, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's a long list of things.
Mully and Hall.
That's a hell of a team.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. What a wondrous and glorious, beautiful Memorial Day it is in the fine city of Chicago. David, how are you holding up, buddy?
Morning, Mully. Happy Memorial Day. Happy Monday. Doing well after a nice weekend. Finally got some weather that resembled Memorial Day weekend. It was felt like summer yesterday, but we're up today working on a working holiday, but it is good to be back.
Yes, it's good to be back, and there's plenty to talk about. And, you know, maybe most excitedly, David, and I don't know if you were excited, but we did have live sports. We did have The Match Part 2. We did have the golf tournament with Peyton Manning and Tiger Woods taking on and beating Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady. But I thought it was the perfect kind of tone. It started out, it was funny and it was a laugh and, oh God, these guys golf like I do. And then it turned into a competition. And by the end of it, it was like a great entertainment.
That's what it was. It was sports entertainment. You know, as far as the competition, it was not what the kind of drama you're going to get from live sports typically, but it was a good thing to have in the background. I can't say that I sat there from, you know, the first shot to the last one and didn't miss a single one, but I did watch it on and off enough to get a sense of, yeah, this is fun, and these guys let their guard down a little bit, and that's the thing, is that there was a relatability to all of them, some more than others, but you know, I think Tiger Woods took a while to get loosened up, if he ever did. At times, he's really funny, but he just was the most serious of the four. But you know, Peyton Manning, he could call a croquet match, and I would watch it and listen because he's entertaining. And it was just a fun afternoon to have that kind of as the, you know, to catch your interest and to hold it.
It's interesting you say that. I thought Tiger was the most guarded of all. And I thought Tiger was the guy that really had nothing to say and really didn't. He was he was excellent. It's his home course. I don't think he ever got off a fairway. I mean, he was excellent. He hit every shot that you'd want him to hit. He was like a machine the way he did it, but he didn't really crack wise very much. He didn't really show any kind of personality. I was most disappointed that we got little out of him. I thought Tom Brady was struggling mightily, and you were watching him struggle, and he was embarrassed about it. And it got to the point where Charles Barkley says to him, hey, how many strokes you want me to give you if we golf? And we know Charles is renowned for his bad golfing. And Brady then gets this look on his face, and he hits a shot 150 yards. It bounces, and he holds out. I mean, it was unbelievable. He knew everyone was digging at him, and he knew everyone was having at him. And he made, you know, they say when you golf that there's always one or two shots that you hit that keep you coming back. He hit that shot, man. He hit as good a shot as anybody hit that whole day.
And up to that point, you were like, can they televise every week Tom Brady doing something that he doesn't do well to make the rest of us feel better about ourselves, right? Because this was like a superstar turned Sunday duffer, and everyone could relate to what he was feeling, the helplessness of being on a golf course and not being able to control your shot. You expect that out of the guys you go golfing with on the weekends, but not out of, you know, the football's greatest quarterback ever. And to see him kind of regain the mastery was kind of fun on the back nine. And Mully, it was laughable though when he split his pants on national television. That was hilarious. And Peyton Manning, meanwhile, along the way, is just kind of like, is a guy you picked up on the way, said, hey, we need a fourth. Can you do it? And here comes Peyton Manning, you know, in his shorts and just kind of, okay, sure, I'm good.
Yeah, I love that. The guy we haven't talked about yet might have been the most interesting guy at the tournament. That is Phil Mickelson. You know, he's got this nice guy reputation. I thought that he was super competitive. I thought listening to him explain some of those shots, it was extraordinary to me how much information he was kind of giving you, and the way he looked at things and the way he was talking about, look at the dark here, and that means that there's a hill you got. I just thought he was great. And I loved at the end when he was telling Brady, hey, just put it right over there, right. Then I can hit the soft shot, yeah. And then you can I mean, he was coaching the hell out of that guy and having him do exactly what he needed just so he was going to try to win the tournament. I loved that.
And I loved envisioning what he would be like then in the booth afterward. Just
yeah, it'd be
calling
great.
As a golf analyst, yeah. Because he had everything down. He had every shot explained, and he was trying to play Belichick to Brady, and he was coaching him through that yesterday. And overall, it just with the bad weather, with the unusual circumstances, with everything that posed a challenge to the broadcast, they handled it in a way that you're like, you wanted more. You want the match part three, and you start to envision who else that could they include. But it was ideal. It was a good setup, and all four of those guys kind of got into it in a way. Now Tiger played his part. I mean, perfectly,
yeah.
Because that is who he is.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like a tremendous machine, if I can use a secretariat call. The NBA announced over the weekend. Well, let's put it this way: we have a where. They're talking to Disney, and they're going to do it all in Orlando. We have a when. It looks like mid to late July, probably late July. We don't have a how. We don't understand yet who's coming, who's not. How many teams are invited? How it will work in terms of a tournament type thing? What do we know exactly about the NBA? They're coming back.
Yes.
And they're coming back in Orlando, and we know about when.
We know that it probably will be the end of July, mid to late July. We know that there's a 220-acre complex in Orlando, which they will take advantage of. We know that they are, you know, posing a range of possibilities, from a 16-team straight go to the playoffs to a 24-team playoff plus, which would include your Chicago Bulls, Mully, at 22-43. They are the 24th best team in the NBA. or the eighth worst, depending on, or you know, or the sixth worst, however many teams there are. It's not good, and they are on the verge of making the playoffs in this playoff plus format. But I think all the things are positive, and they're headed in the right direction. And there is this sense of, from when the league office issues a statement from Mike Bass, one of the executives under Adam Silver, and they say the things that they did, with it provides you some optimism if you're an NBA fan.
When you say it's not good, do you mean you don't want to see the Bulls again?
I said not good in reference to whatever place they are, however okay. many teams are, you know,
but they're
worse
in.
Than them in the league. They are, you know, if they come back, I don't know that you can look at that as a negative, because at least you get a chance to see them, you know, again, and it'd be good evaluation period. I wouldn't
yes.
get your hopes up in the way that you would if, say, the Blackhawks and the NHL come to a 24-team format. I think that's a very different scenario and level of excitement if you're here in Chicago, because I don't think the Bulls would be doing anything except for putting themselves on tape for the next coach and the new front office to evaluate.
Well, I think the new front office would probably be there, right? I mean, these guys are described as gym rats. I would imagine they'd want to be around the gym. And I think, speaking of gym, Boylan would – every time they've said – like Mark Eversley said, well, you know, we haven't even been in the gym yet. In other words, well, we got to see the guy in person before we fire him. That's the way I've always taken it. I don't have much faith in Jim Boylan sticking around. But if they decide, hey, let's see what he can do, and then you got all the players obviously engaged because they're showing off for the new group, I think it'd be fascinating. I'm all over it. I think it's information, the power of information. Not, you know, maybe get rid of Boylan and let someone else run it. I don't know. I don't know how you do it, but I think that you definitely want to see these players up close and personal if you are indeed the new decision maker or general manager or whatever, the new brain trust.
I don't disagree with that. I guess what I mean is that when you're 24th out of 30 teams and you're in the NBA, my sense is that in the NBA, in contrast to the NHL, I think the randomness of hockey makes you feel like if you're the Blackhawks, you have a better chance of maybe taking advantage of this weird playoff unorthodox format than if you're the Bulls, which I feel like that would be more, as you describe, an observational evaluation period that resembles a summer league more than the Blackhawks playoff format would resemble an opportunity.
You know, I'm a Man United fan, and I kind of view all the European sports through that prism, and they had a big meeting last week, and their debt service is like through the roof, and it's kind of scary. And it made me wonder about the Cubs, because at one point there was fear that the Cubs were kind of had all this debt and everything else. Long story boring, I'm reading Paul Sullivan yesterday, and he's talking about how the loss in revenue and the reason that they're cutting employees really has to do with what he called their future being tricky. Listen, the Cubs have a ton of money that they've sunk into Wrigley and Wrigleyville and the Marquee Sports Network and the rooftops and all the rest of it. Is there a possibility that that this thing has caught them at the wrong time?
Well, Molly, I mean, it's what we talked about last week.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a different way of saying the same thing. I mean, when you have 70% of your revenue is related to the game day experience, it underscores how much you have invested in that game day experience and how much everything that you do is predicated on people going to that block, to that neighborhood, and to be spending money in a place where you have invested heavily if you're the Ricketts. Of course that is the case. I mean, that is that's the ideal situation. You want your ballpark and your neighborhood surrounding
right.
that ballpark to have a feel and an atmosphere to it that attracts people by the millions. And when you do it as successfully as the Cubs have done it, you are going to suffer when everything revolves around that in the midst of a pandemic you could not have anticipated. No, I don't care who you are. So that to me, that was just an acceptance level. Or you have 70% of your revenue and you don't have any games to stage of course you're going to be affected more than most teams in the league, because I don't have the rankings. The only information that we don't have is how many teams make more money on the game day experience than the Chicago Cubs. I can't imagine. It's a very long list.
The first part of Lance aired on ESPN Sunday, and I hate to tell you this, I was watching the golf, and it ended fairly late, and yeah. I had dinner, and I didn't even think about Lance.
So, Mully, after, you know, the golf and everything, you know, I'm surfing Twitter later just to see what's going on, and I see the clip of Lance Armstrong, and I have the volume up, and I usually mute my computer, but I'm trying to listen, and all of a sudden, the F-bombs start dropping. My wife's like, what are you watching? What are you watching? I mean, I guess they started with the shock, going for the shock value, and Lance Armstrong telling a couple stories, but I don't know. I didn't watch it. I watched some clips of it. It didn't sound like he kind of did much to improve his image. If that was his goal, I'm not sure that he accomplished it.
There's an unlikability there that I know that as a sports guy, I'm going to have to watch that, and I will watch it, and I do have a copy of it, but I just – I don't know. I just, like, when you get to the
who cares
element. Do we
have to watch it? I mean, do you feel like you have to watch it? I mean, do you know how it ends?
You know, I know how it ends. I know how awful it was. But I suppose I feel compelled to watch it because it's some kind of cultural thing. But I'm not remotely excited about it. It's not like must watch. It's more like, okay, I got to watch this. I do feel compelled.
Here's what I'm curious about, Mully, and whether it's The Last Dance, which I missed, I think everybody did, Lance Armstrong or Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire, their home run documentary coming up. To what degree are some of these documentaries revisionist history and a chance to kind of correct the record as the people who made the history see it? It gives me a little bit of pause in wanting to sit down and commit the time necessary to watch the Lance Armstrong documentary.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you know, Lance Armstrong's worse than any of those other guys because Lance Armstrong was out trying to get people fired and threatening people and lawsuits and all the rest of it. I mean, Lance Armstrong, his defense of himself was vicious, especially since he was a liar. So that makes me less interested in his tough times as a kid. I don't know. I just can't. Plus, it's not a sport. I'm not Paul Agassi. I don't watch the Tour de France on a yearly basis. I knew about Lance Armstrong because it was like he was winning and go ahead, yay, America. But
when I do
you
like
really...
a bike ride. A good bike ride on Sunday is not a bad thing, Mo. I have to say, yesterday was a pleasant day for a bike ride and a jog and do a little yard work.
Yeah, but I mean, did you go like to Milwaukee? I mean, I'm just saying, if you're riding your bike, it's one thing.
No, you're right. I don't mean like cycling. Notice I said bike ride. I'm not a cyclist. I ride my bike.
All right, just making sure. We're gonna talk about John Lester was on the station.
Yeah,
you also heard. On the way in, you heard the voice of John Lester. You also heard Kyle Long, a couple of really good interviews over the weekend. We'll give you a little taste of some of that stuff as we move forward. We've got a lot to go over. It is a glorious Monday, and we'll be right back. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're really trying to work towards an agreement to get this thing going. I think everybody's main concern is the safety. You know, the other stuff we can kind of figure out as we go, but, you know, players and owners and all this stuff, doctors, everybody wants to be safe. So we don't want to rush into this thing and start risking, you know, health. So not only health based on, you know, this pandemic, but health, you know, physically for the player when it comes to, you know, shortened spring training and trying to get revved up for a season, you know, that fast. So I think that's the main thing that players are focusing on, owners are focusing on, is the health.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the Score. That's the voice of John Lester. He was on Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and Matt Spiegel, and it was a really good interview, and it was really interesting. And there's a lot there, David. You listen to John Lester talk about health and safety, and here's a guy who was a cancer survivor. So that has to be considered an underlying health issue, I imagine, yeah?
Oh, definitely. And I think that his optimism, though, was something that came through. I feel like there was a sense that he reinforced that you read the reports over the weekend, Mully, that the health and safety concerns are obviously priority one. But there's a feeling that those can be addressed and certainly not overcome. That's the wrong way to put it, but dealt with in a way that makes players as comfortable as they're going to feel. Not everybody's going to feel comfortable. Maybe not everybody comes back. But John Lester spoke with a little bit more optimism than maybe I expected. I'm not quite sure what I expected, but it was a very good interview. And I think what it did was it made me believe two things. Number one, health and safety is the priority, but it can be addressed in a way that satisfies players. And number two, there's going to be more of a spirit of compromise that maybe has been represented so far in some of these news reports. And I think you saw later Saturday, maybe even, it was after the interview, but things have started to come out where the spirit of compromise is being discussed. And you hear players willing to do this and owners are willing to do that. And you get a sense that this is a crucial week for everybody involved in baseball, but there is maybe not this impossible difference. And you think that there's at least good signs that you're hearing, as well as that interview, that things can be met in the middle.
Well, I think it's fascinating because, you know, when you hear John Lester say that money isn't the number one issue, that surprised me, quite frankly. And he talked about how everybody, you know, in the lack of information, everybody is searching out whatever kernel they can get. And there's been all sorts of rumors about different proposals. And we know that the idea of the 50-50 split was viewed as a sort of salary cap. And now the latest is that the owners are having a conference call with Rob Manfred at, I believe, 1 o'clock Eastern on Tuesday. So tomorrow at noon our time, they're going to talk to Rob Manfred ahead of his financial offer to the players. And the players, meanwhile, are talking, the rumor is that they're offering a deferment. They're going to say, hey, you said you'd pay us this, we want this, but you don't have to pay us right away. You can wait a year or two.
Those are the details that represent the compromise. Those are the details that you weren't hearing so much about last week when people were digging in. And I think, again, playing this game publicly, before any numbers had been exchanged, there was a lot of conversation. There was a lot of messaging. That's all part of the negotiation when you're talking about things like you know, work stoppages and CBAs. But Mully, that was a positive sign. When you talk about the owners who want to, you know, they're willing to discuss different options to the 50-50 revenue split. Maybe the players are coming off and talking about deferred salaries and you know, they still want to have a prorated salary. But somewhere in the middle, these guys know that they can, you know, have some sort of middle ground. And I think both sides are realizing that a summer without baseball, if the reason you're canceling the season is related to finances and not health, then there's a lot at stake. And I don't know if it's irreparable harm, as we discussed last week a few days, but there's harm that neither one of these sides want to kind of, you know, possibilities they don't want to face.
You know, the other really interesting element of that interview was the way John Lester talked about wanting to have a date, that he needs a date to aim to with his workout so that he knows he can get in a certain condition and then he can ramp it up in training camp and take that into the start of the season. But number one, he wants a date because he said you can't be ramped up, ready to go at all times. You've got to build to it, and he wants to know when he needs to start building.
Creature of habit. You know, that's the veteran in him talking, but he's talking on behalf of all the veterans.
Yes.
Because these are guys that know their bodies. These are guys that know their arms, and they know, you know, you start to count backward from the date. If opening day is July 4th, then you know by June 15th you want to be at a certain place, or then by June 20th, and you start to think in your head, okay, this is the calendar. Now I have to start, you know, applying this to what it would be like if it were March, and I'm preparing for April. So that's why this week, Mully, is so critical. Here we are on Memorial Day on this Monday. It's May 25th. A week from today is June 1st. That would be the ideal target, wouldn't it, for baseball to come out with an official plan to say, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. And if we encounter issues along the way, we'll deal with them as they come, because you can't possibly predict what could be next. So we're going to remain fluid. But I think there's a lot of hope that exists on this Monday morning, maybe more so than a week ago at this time, Mully, because of the rhetoric you're starting to hear and maybe the compromise that they're starting to consider.
It's, you know, what's interesting too, David, is, you know, Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, is allowing the pro sports teams to return to their facilities,
yeah,
which is a big sign in New York. You know, we've heard different things, and we're probably heading to that here in Illinois. So it's going to be fascinating. There are little hints that this is coming back. And, you know, again, I think that what's really interesting to me is that there is an element here at play, and we've heard Scott Boras talk about it, everybody talk about this idea that baseball needs to help lead the way back, that somehow, you know, there is some kind of patriotism wrapped up in their return to play. And I'm fascinated by that because, I the German Bundesliga has come back. They did not come back out of any sense of nationalism or giving people something to watch or enter. They came back because they have clubs that are in danger of folding,
right,
if they don't play. They came back in order to keep the sport alive and healthy because they've lost so much money and they're having so many financial problems, and some of these teams are really, really in trouble. And certainly while that's the case in baseball overall in terms of the minor leagues, that isn't necessarily the case with the major league clubs. And in fact, they're probably going to lose money by coming back. But there is this other, you know, we're sitting here on Memorial Day, which is usually one of the great sports days on the calendar.
Yep.
And we're talking about this idea that baseball could come back. I think it has a higher purpose than just the health of the franchises.
Well, Memorial Day is usually a mile marker for your baseball season, but it is yet to begin. So it is kind of, it reinforces just what we're missing. And I do think there's this sort of nationalistic approach to baseball that doesn't exist in other sports, maybe in other countries or surrounding their sport. I don't know, but I have been surprised at the rhetoric and urging people to get back for the good of the country. Not that Governor Cuomo was doing that, not that Governor Newsom was doing that in California,
right,
but you've seen these guys publicly come off their really rigid stances and being more open to reopening the sports, professional sports in their respective states, waiting for, you know, Governor Pritzker maybe to do that here in Illinois. You don't know if that is next, but it was surprising over the weekend to see that. And I think it all speaks to, you know, baseball coming back this summer. And Mully, did you see Japan? They're starting June 19th. And that's another one where you look at around the world and things are starting to happen in the way of sports returning.
Well, I just wonder if now that Japan starts, do I switch my allegiances from the Korean basketball Korean baseball to the Japanese league before I get back to the MLB? How does that work?
Okay. I mean, how many fantasy baseball leagues can I be in?
How many players can I watch that I've never heard of?
I know.
All right, we're gonna bring in Bruce Levine. Bruce will tell us about his interview with John Lester, and we'll talk about what else he's heard in the wide world of baseball. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
We've had some phone calls with, you know, with Rossi and other players and you know, our pitching coach Tommy, you know, and that's really everybody's concern, but for me especially, I just don't want to get ramped up for an unknown date and, you know, kind of have to turn it back down. So it's a fine line of keeping the arm moving, playing some catch, doing some things, you know, not necessarily, you know, maybe getting off the mound right this second. But I think you just, once we get this date, then you can kind of, you know, I've been doing enough stuff to be able to build. And I feel like you're just kind of, you know, mentally waiting for that date. And once that date hits, it's like, okay, now I go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score. That's John Lester, and he was on with Bruce and, of course, Matt Spiegel inside the clubhouse on Saturday, and we are delighted to welcome Bruce Levine to the program. He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Bruce.
Morning, Bruce.
Good morning, and I want to thank all of the wonderful military people that have sacrificed so much for us through our entire existence and that now are out there doing the same thing. Thank you so much, and remembering all the valiant people that lost their lives protecting our country today.
Well put.
Yeah, and Bruce, you also had a chance to catch up with John Lester. We just heard that cut coming in. I got to tell you, listening to that really made my day. It just made me happier. He's coming back. I don't know if baseball is, but John Lester's got to get his 10 wins to get the 300. There's no doubt in my mind that he's got his eye toward that. Hey, just give me the date. I really enjoyed the interview, Bruce. You guys did a great job. But it also was uplifting. I mean, you really did feel like that's a guy that's talking about coming back, and maybe the players get it.
Yeah, Mike, I think that was my biggest takeaway out of it, the fact that he talked about, hey, don't listen too much to the rhetoric from either side. We need to get this thing done, and we need to get back on the field. Baseball needs people need their baseball, and we needed it just as much as the fans do. So that was the encouraging part. It was all positive. It was all uplifting. And especially from a veteran who's been around for as many years as John Lester has, to be that positive about it and to say, hey, don't listen to all the bluster out there. We're going to get a deal done. I was very encouraged by that. I mean, he didn't guarantee that a deal would be done. He did kind of give you the idea that veterans like himself will have some strong say-so as to what occurs.
You know, you're right, Bruce, and I think that what you heard from John Lester is what you saw in other reports from the weekend, in that there's a spirit of compromise on both sides, recognizing the reality of not wanting to have money get in the way of baseball in 2020 if, and that's a big if, all the other health concerns and safety issues can be addressed. In light of that, after hearing Lester, after seeing what's out there, could you put together a potential timeline for an agreement and or a return to spring training?
Yeah, I don't think they have more than a week left to get this thing done, honestly, guys, because if they want to hit these timelines, and it's kind of been semi-etched in stone that they want to have spring training pretty much done with by the first week of July and games start then. If you're going to do that, you can't expect everybody to get to spring training in 2 days, okay? I mean, realistically, what would you say, 5 to 7 days to get going to where you're going to go? Or if it's your home city, you know, making those accommodations, which you don't have right now, bringing your family with or not bringing your family with, the likelihood is not bringing your family with for the first 3 weeks. There's a ton of minutia that's really important to get done before you can get guys to a spring training headquarters, whether it's in the home city or in Arizona or Florida. So I think it's got to be done by a week from now. If the presentation of the economics of the report are tomorrow, okay? And that's all the indications that we have right now, that that will be presented to the players tomorrow by the owners as to the economic plan that the owners have for them. If that happens tomorrow, I think we got about a week, and that's it. Because I think by, you know, June the 7th or 8th, probably by the 10th at the latest, you're going to have people starting to have spring training to get your 3 weeks of spring training in and get ready for, you know, maybe the 4th of July when you want to start Major League Baseball again.
And, Bruce, I think they know it. I think that the Players Association knows it, and I think that the obviously the owners know it. And, you know, tomorrow is D-Day. They're going to give their proposals, and there's already a counter-proposal waiting. So it just seems like this – everybody knows what has to happen. Everybody knows the time frame, and we'll find out how it goes down.
Yeah, look, there's another, you know, ancillary situation that's really important. That is the schedule, okay?
Mm-hmm.
How do you have a schedule when you don't have a start date, okay? You must have that. You must have your broadcast partners a part of that, you know, television, radio, national television, you know, just all the technical aspects of getting those broadcasts ready together and prepared for maybe an 82-game season. So there's a tremendous amount of work to be done once the go sign happens and they give them the green light. It's really important that happens now. And I think you guys are probably in the same position I'm in. That is, we have very little patience for the economics of how who's going to get what and when. We're more concerned about the athletes being able to play, being safe, and then the venues like the city of Chicago allowing that participation to take place.
Well, that's the thing, Bruce. I think you look around the weekend and the news reports, it depends on what state or what city or in some cases what pool you're in, how far the restrictions are going to go, and how people are going to kind of adhere to some of these laws and regulations. And here in Chicago, will the White Sox do something different than the Cubs in regard to spring training? Do we know yet? What are the things that they're weighing? If we do get an announcement within the next week, and I agree with you on the timeline, but then the spring training, in quotes, will that be in Arizona? Will that be in the respective ballparks here in Chicago, or do we know yet?
Well, I think that's up to Mayor Lightfoot and, you know, her deciding to open Chicago. You know, we still don't have, you know, an opening here for Chicago, and the mayor said it'd probably be now the first week of June sometime that she'll get into her next phase of opening Chicago. We see the state is opening up ahead of that on Friday. So we have some approval there. But then again, I think you should feel good about the fact that the Chicago Cubs and the Ricketts family and the White Sox and Jerry Reinsdorf have been staying in touch with the governor and staying in touch with the mayor, and that a plan will be in place at some point for them to either quickly pivot and go somewhere else if Chicago's not the place where you can have spring training. I think that that's the first step is, will the mayor open a part of the city up? I mean, again, it's the logistics of, you know, north side, south side. Maybe she'll open a certain section of the city up before another. There's always that possibility. Maybe the White Sox will end up spring training in Arizona. Maybe the Cubs will be in Chicago. We do not know yet, but, you know, hopefully they have a better handle on it than we do with the mayor's plan going forward.
How does that work, Bruce? I mean, in terms of just trying to arrange flights, trying to get people together. I mean, do you have to, when you come up with a spring training date, you'll obviously have, I guess, 4 weeks of spring training. Is that enough?
Well, it's going to have to be. I think we go back to the latest test on that, and that was in 1995 when we had the lockout and you had the replacement players for all of spring training. And then by the 1st of April, somewhere around there, they got a deal done, and the regular players came back and had 3.5 weeks of spring training in 1995, had a 144-game season. So that can be done. the specialization of baseball right now, and particularly in pitching, makes 1995 and 2020 very different. But nonetheless, I think they're using that as, you know, probably to look at, hey, 3.5 to 4 weeks is the very minimum that we need to have for these people. We're here in 3 weeks. With expanded rosters, that's going to make it more palatable to people, you know, thinking that if you have a 30-man roster to begin with, and you also have the ability to go to 20 other guys in your organization as kind of a taxi squad, moving people in and out with maybe new sets of rules as far as major league playing time this year. I think all of that is going to come into play as well. You know, as Lester said, you know, you're not going to see him coming out of the chute throwing six innings. I mean, that was the pace they were on when the first spring training stopped after March the 12th, they were going to have another 2 weeks left, and then baseball was going to start. This is going to be probably much different.
Bruce, the Lester interview, let's go back to that for a second, because as Mully pointed out, and this was an interesting thing, you know, he's a cancer survivor, and his perspective on all of these health risks that players will be taking, and I think is a valuable one, and one maybe not many people in baseball share. And yet the confidence with which he spoke and trusting the Cubs medical team, which he complimented, as well as I think people around baseball trusting their own medical staffs, that stood out to me as a level of confidence or trust that maybe you didn't expect to hear from him. Where does that come from? And do you think other players share that kind of confidence that he expressed in their own medical teams?
You know, it's a great question, David, because I can't answer for a lot of them. You know, John is, you know, one of the few that we've been able to talk to during all this time. But I think there is tremendous confidence in the medical staffs and the teams that they work for that they're going to do the very best they can. They always have been in preparation and taking care of them with their training and medical staffs, which are, you know, fantastic on both sides of town and throughout Major League Baseball. So from all that, you know, it's a different type of trust, though. I mean, let's be honest. Generally, you're trusting your body and, you know, getting ready and coming back from injuries. That's a much different, you know, this is a different leap when you talk about going through that and talking about something that can threaten your life, you know, just within a short period of time if you contract the coronavirus. So from all of that, I think there is a feeling that the 67-page report and the going up and back between both sides and figuring it out is showing that there is a tremendous amount of protection built into this. Whether players can pull it off, whether they trust each other to adhere to this when they're not playing baseball, that's another matter, and I don't think I can answer that.
Bruce, we'll let you go. We know you have to prepare for your own show.
Repair would be right. That would be.
Yeah, well, repair yourself. But before we do, last question for me. John Lester needs 10 wins to get to 200. If you take 82 games and you use a traditional five-man rotation, that would mean he'd get 16.5 starts. There's no way he's getting 16.5 starts because there's not going to be enough time in spring training. We don't know how many starts he's going to get. We don't know if he's going to get to 200 wins. We know his contract's coming up. Do you see him with 200 wins before he retires? Do you see him with the Cubs after this season?
Yeah, great questions. I can't answer either one except to tell you this. I don't think he'll get 200, number 200 in 2020. But I do think he will, whether it's with the Cubs or somebody else. And I do think that 200 is the new 300 when we're starting to look at great pitchers of this era, maybe the last 20, 25 years, compared to, you know, the Randy Johnson, Maddox, Pedro, all that era. And the qualifications for the Hall of Fame will be much different moving forward because you're never going to have 300-game winners again. That's an impossibility. So I think it's important. What's more important is for Lester to be able to come out and pitch well for the Cubs. That was the one story that was really starting to evolve on both sides of town, that both pitching staffs were really starting to come into shape and pitch well and look good, you know, with just a few weeks left before spring training was over with and the season was going to start. Whether they can pick up where they left off the second time around, that's going to be fascinating to watch as we hopefully have baseball pretty soon.
Great stuff. Thank you so much, Bruce.
Thanks,
all right, guys, have a great day. Happy holiday to you guys.
You too, buddy. Happy holiday. That's Bruce Levine. It is a holiday, David. You got your grill going? What's going on here?
Well, listen, I am not in your category when it comes to the grilling, but yeah, I got the grill going yesterday.
I'm not in a good grill category. I'm just a guy that is obsessed with cooking everything in the house once he starts grilling.
It was perfect. The perfect conditions on this Sunday yesterday with the weather and everything else. It was nice. Yeah, definitely had the grill going. Definitely was worth the effort. It was a good dinner.
All righty, buddy. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.